Tonight's Bible reading comes from Psalm 1. It's on page 431 of the Bibles in front of you, or it's up on the screen behind me. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
If you have a Bible open, that would be great to have that in Psalm 1. And we're looking at this beautiful psalm as we start a new year of life and ministry together. And let me pray that God would encourage us. Lord God, we thank you that you speak through your word. And we ask that as we listen to your word, that we would make commitments to live our lives centered on your word and your truth, trusting in Christ our Saviour for forgiveness, for transformation, for new life, and for eternal life. Lord, come in this place tonight as we open up your word by the power of your Spirit, touch our lives, change our lives, redirect our hearts, give us a new passion and a desire to love you, to serve you, and to proclaim your name in 2020, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, on the first Sunday of the new year, we need to remember that God's word is powerful to transform people's lives. And sometimes you get used to the Bible, you get bored of the Bible, and you sometimes have a lot of Bibles at home and they get a lot of dust on them. And every so often you pick one up. We want you to have a Bible that you can sort of have a pencil with and write on and get used to it. I want it messy, to have messy pages, right? If you have a brand new Bible and it's still brand new by the end of the year, I'm not happy. You shouldn't be happy either. It should be messy. It should be used. You should be flicking through it and finding things. Right? It's not something you put on a mantelpiece and leave it there. It's God's word. It's a tool so you can know God better and live for God. Let me tell you something that happened to a guy called Augustine in the 300s. And this fellow was an immigrant from North Africa, a teacher of philosophy, widely respected for his learning and intelligence. And he was a pagan like most people around him. He lived a life of sexual immorality. By his own admission, he said, "I was enslaved by lust." Then a fellow teacher who was a Christian gave this man a copy of the book of Romans in the Bible, New Testament. You know it. And as he read it, he immediately got to see life differently, he said. It touched him deeply. He saw himself as a sinful man separated from God, that he had no hope of finding peace or joy. And despair seized his heart. He threw himself to the ground and cried out to God to free him from his sin. He looked inside and he saw how sinful he was. He thought, "What can save me from this?" And at that point, as he called out to God, he heard a little child singing a nursery rhyme. "Pick it up and read it, pick it up and read it." So he picks up his copy of Romans. Sometimes God works miraculously like this. You know, you just pick it up and open it, and God speaks to you. "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Clothe yourself with Jesus and don't gratify the sinful nature. Don't think about those things. He said the words cut through his anguish and confusion. He surrendered his life to Christ, went on to become a great Christian leader with tremendous influence over the centuries. His life was changed because a Christian was willing to take the word of God and put it into the hands of someone else who was far from God and lost. And as they read the word of God, God spoke to them through the word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, who or what will you listen to in 2020? There's going to be a battle for your mind, and it's everywhere, from friends and parents and the television and music and phones and magazines and lecturers and psychologists and philosophers and university lecturers, media personalities. People are speaking into your mind. They want to take control of your mind, control of your thinking, so you think a certain way. Everyone wants influence, don't they? You know, there are people they call influencers. They influence you with what clothes you wear. They influence you with what music you listen to. Influencers all over the place. And you have to make a decision. Will you listen to the voices out there, or will you listen to the Word of God and what God has to say? And in Psalm 1, we're reminded to listen to God's Word, because that is the wise way to live. And this passage will tell us there are conflicting voices. We'll come to that in a moment. You can either listen to the other voices, contrary to God, enemies of God, against God, or you can listen to the voice of God as revealed in the Scriptures. You see, the people of God knew that there was one God. His name was Yahweh, Israel's God. And he had revealed himself through prophets and through his word, and they knew how they had to live. He had given them the law, the Torah. You read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, where they could know how God wants them to live. And Psalm 1 is like an introduction to the book of Psalms. There are a variety of types of Psalms. This one is more like what they call wisdom literature, a bit more like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Songs. Written as an introduction to set the path for God's people in worship. And the first thing I want you to pick up is this, the attractiveness of the godly life in verses 1 to 3. He said, blessed is the one. In other words, blessed is the one, or happy is the one, or how rewarding is the life of the one who does what? Who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Beginning of 2020, you need to realize that you can be blessed and happy from a negative perspective by avoiding the advice and the lifestyle and the assembly of wicked persons. Firstly, he says, do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And in the Psalms, the wicked are those who don't believe in God. They are enemies of God. They live contrary to God, and they are pushing people, God's people, away from the truth of God's word. He says, don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. In other words, don't listen to them, and don't take in their thoughts, and don't follow their thoughts. And advice is given right throughout the book of Proverbs as well, telling us not to follow the advice of the ungodly. One example, for example, in Proverbs 5, 1 to 6, is that temptation to be drawn into illicit sexual pleasure by immoral women who fail to honour their marriage vows. This is one example of not listening to the advice of the wicked. My son, pay attention to my wisdom, listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. In other words, listen to God, for the lips of an adulteress drip honey and her speech is smoother than oil. Alternative voice, but in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life, her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. Again, you see two voices, God's voice or the voice of evil and someone who is contrary to God. So what are the voices in 2020? One of the strong voices of our society is look after number one. The world will say to you, it's your life, do what you want. All over the place, it's in the media, it's from your friends, it's from your family. Look after yourself, it's your life, do what you want. It's accumulate wealth, goods, property. You worked hard, live it up. And we live in a Western materialistic society, and you possess, and you possess, you possess. You have your house, you have your car, you have a holiday house, you have your overseas trip, you have another overseas trip, and you buy a yacht, or whatever it happens to be. Whatever you can afford, right? Some of you are saying, I can't afford any of that, right? You're talking about someone else. No. We are all caught up in this Western materialist lifestyle. And when you are tempted sometimes to invest your life and your resources for the kingdom of God, the world says, no, spend more on yourself. Spend more on yourself. Or when you're going out with friends, have another drink. Be one of the boys, one of the girls. It won't matter if you had a few too many drinks tonight. You know, be okay in the morning. God's a God of forgiveness. Presuming on God's grace rather than being sober. Or you love your girlfriend. You've been going out for a couple of years now. Or your boyfriend. You know, everyone sleeps together. You can't help it now. It's part of the modern age. Having sex, not a problem. Won't hurt anyone. You're 16. What are you worried about? Take protection. Make sure you've seen your doctor first. It's all good. So says the world, the enemies of God, who live contrary to God. Don't let religious hang-ups restrict your pleasure. Or gender is fluid. Homosexuality is normal. Marriage equality should be celebrated. or abortion. You really didn't need this child at this point in your life or want this child. In fact, you can't afford it. It will restrict your career choices. Well, really, it's only a blob of cells at this stage. It's very early on. It's not really human. It doesn't have personhood. It's a simple operation. It really won't impact you long term. Millions of people are doing it all around the world. It's your body. Do what you like with it. Or euthanasia. It's your body. You see this independent life. It's your body. You want to die now? Just get rid of it. You don't want to suffer. Or the atheists tell us that we are simply a product of evolution where no God is involved in it. Atheistic evolution. You don't have to follow God's word. You are simply highly developed animals. There's no one outside of you to direct you. Do what you like. Or what happens after death? The world says you rot in the grave. You've had a good life, good innings, 50 years, 60 years. Some of you get to 80 or 90. You've had a good innings. He's a good man. He's a good woman. Everyone loved him. I'm sure they're in a better place, if there's a better place. Or universalism. Sometimes in churches, people say, well, there are many paths to God. We'll all end up in the same place, but a different road. So, well, if you're a Muslim, it's all right. As long as you're a good Muslim. If you're a Buddhist, as long as you're a good Buddhist. If you're a Christian, good Christian. Oh, well, even atheists. As long as you're a good atheist, God wouldn't let anyone out of his heaven, right? In the end, love wins. Everyone's okay. The Bible says, blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. There are always alternative voices, alternative ideas to God's word. See, when you listen to the voices, contrary to the word of God, and then you start to believe them, you then stand in the way of sinners, which is the second part. He says, don't stand in the way of sinners, don't conform to the way of sinners. Because if you start to believe, for example, hypothetically, that sex outside of marriage is a good thing because it cements your love for one another, even though you're not married, and that's contrary to God's word, if you start to believe that, then you'll act on it. Right? You then, not only do you listen to the word of sinners, you now conform to the way of sinners. And it becomes a habit, and you get used to it. And then it takes work to break that sinful habit that you have started to live out. And what happens then when you start to listen to those voices rather than God's word, and then you start to live out that type of lifestyle, you then sit in the seat of mockers. Do not sit in the gathering and assembly of the mockers or the scoffers. See, they are those who sit back, who arrogantly refuse to accept instruction from God and man. They scoff at the ways of the wise. They laugh at them and say, that's dumb. Don't follow God. God's not on your side. Why would you follow God? God let you down last time. Can't be trusted. Do what you like. I remember a fellow who said to me once on Good Friday, and he was a scoffer. He used to be religious, he said. It was Good Friday night at the Greek Orthodox Church in Marrickville. Thousands of people on the streets. He said, oh, I wanted to meet you. I hear you are religious. I said, don't worry. You'll grow out of it. I said, well, in fact, I'm not religious. I said, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's far different to being religious. And 40 years later, I haven't grown out of it. Right? They scoff at us. And sometimes you'll have people who grew up in this church, maybe came to Nowy Baptist as a young person, as a teenager, grew up here and then became an enemy of the gospel, didn't believe the gospel, walked away from God, and then debates with you and tries to convince you to leave Jesus as well. They mock you and they scoff at the gospel. It says, don't do that. But on the positive sense, there's certain things you're not to do, but in a positive sense, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So this is the person who doesn't listen to the false voices, the enemies of God, but he listens to God as he is revealed in the scriptures, and he so delights in the law of God, it's not a burden to them. It's not a burden to open up the Bible and read it and to think about it. It's a delight. It's a joy. Now, I delight in a lot of things. I love gelato. I delight in gelato. I delight in holidays. I delight in watching Sydney FC win again, and I delight in a whole variety of things, right? And you delight in different things. It's good to delight in things. God has given us life to enjoy. But we have to delight in the law of the Lord. It changes everything. Let me tell you about Benjamin. Benjamin was Brazilian, We've got some Brazilian friends here. And he was from the northeast of Brazil in an area where they didn't have many Bibles. And he thought his life was complete. He had a good job, good health, and he loved his wife. But he had a friend, one of his customers. I said, Benjamin, you need something else. You need to know God and Jesus, because there's more to life than simply a good wife, a good job, and good income. We are made for a bigger purpose. So he gave him a Bible, and Benjamin read the Bible. And he was so convinced of the truth of the Bible, he gave his life to Christ. But here he is in the northeast of Brazil. He's a barber. He's cutting people's hair every day. He's now been changed by the Bible and the truth of the gospel. Remember, the Bible says it makes us wise for salvation. The gospel makes us wise for salvation. And so having read it, he now wanted to share it with others. And what he started to do was he would order boxes of New Testaments. They would come to his store. And as people came in and got a haircut, you got a haircut and a free Bible. Now, for you, that probably is not very impressive because you've got 10 Bibles at home, right? But for this part of Brazil, they didn't have many Bibles. And so they'd go and get a haircut and get a free Bible. His boss said to him, he said, Benjamin, if you lose any customers out of here, man, I'm going to sack you if anyone starts leaving. But what happened is more and more people came for haircuts. Time and time, day after day, he'd hand out a New Testament. And he said, one day, a fellow came, and Benjamin had one New Testament left. He was going to hold on to that until the new shipment came in. And this fellow said, I'm sorry, mate, I only have one left. I've got to hold on to that. He said, I've walked 50 miles to come to see you to get a copy of the scriptures. And you know, my Bible often gets dusty. Often gets unused. I take God for granted. I think I can do without God. We got money, we got influence, we're in a big church. I need to pray and read the Word of God. God's just gonna do it, right? Here's the guy who travels 50 miles to get a haircut, to get the Bible. So what does Benjamin do? What's he gonna do? He's gonna give him the Bible, right? He gives him the Bible, he takes it home a few weeks later. He discovered that this man has then read the Bible and shared it with his family, and 15 members of the family have become Christians. See, the Word of God is powerful to transform lives, but it needs to be in the hands of people so they can read it. What are you going to delight in 2020? What are you going to be preoccupied with? What's going to be your obsession? What will you be concerned about? It says the law of the Lord. And as I said earlier, it's not a burden, but a delight. It brings ultimate happiness and satisfaction because you get to know God through his word. And friends, as you know, as you head into the New Testament, we come to discover that, as we've seen at Christmas, that God stepped into human history in his son Jesus. That Jesus grew up to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to forgive the sinners, and to offer forgiveness and new life to all who believe in him. And lepers came to him. And blind men came to him. And sick women came to him. He healed them, he restored them, and gave them a purpose in life. And he so loved the people that he gave his life up, and he was crucified on a cross, on a Roman cross, where he died not for his sins but for ours, for yours and mine. We start a new year of ministry. We need to remember that we center on a Christ who stepped from heaven to earth to a cross for us. But then on the third day, God raised him from the dead. He is alive today. Friends, that gospel message is the one we want to share. It's the one we want to believe. It's the one we want to share with others. So how do you get to know this God better? Well, you need to read the scriptures. You need to study the scriptures. You need to be in church. You need to be reading the Bible by yourself. You need to be in Bible study groups and so on. And each year for the last few years, I've tried to read the Bible in a year. I wasn't very good before that. I'd read a few chapters here and there, but last 3 years, I've tried to do that. And this year, in case you're looking for some method to use in reading the Bible in a year, I'm using what's called Bible in 1 Year. Some of you would have seen me post on Facebook a while ago, you know, my 20,000 friends. Bible in a Year app by Nikki Gumbel. Nikki Gumbel is the promoter of the Alpha Course. He's the minister of the Holy Trinity, Brompton, in the UK, in London. And Sam Chan, some of you have heard Sam Chan preach around the place. He said he used it last year, loved it. So I thought, well, Sam Chan likes it. It mustn't be too bad. So I looked at it and I thought, it's fantastic. It gives you either a psalm or a proverb. and a New Testament passage and an Old Testament passage. But it does more than just give you the passages. It gives a little bit of an introduction to the psalm or the proverb. And the first week I did it, first day, what do you think it was? Psalm 1, right? Of course it was, Psalm 1, delighting in the law of the Lord. And then a few notes, like a little mini commentary, short, so it won't take you forever. And then you read the, so read the passage, read the commentary, read the passage, read his summary and some thoughts, some inspiration, then read the Old Testament and read some of that. 10 or 15 minutes. You've done it all. We've taken some of the Old Testament in, some of the New Testament, some of the Proverbs and the Psalms. And already in the first 5 days, I found it really encouraging, inspirational. And after the morning service, people going, what was that website? And everyone's going on their phones. So if you want to go on your phones right now, that's okay. Pull out your phones. You can Google it. Bible in 1 Year app by Nikki Gumbel. Download it. Start using it tomorrow or start it tonight when you get home. Well, I share that with you because I want you to know that I'm trying to get to know God better. I'm trying to read the Bible daily. Because I need the Word of God. I need it to sustain me. I need it to lead me. I need it to speak into my life because there are so many competing voices in this world. And what's he saying will happen next? I better turn off my phone. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So the person who delights in the law of the Lord is a person who's sort of planted, not in a dry spot, and aren't there dry spots in Australia today? Just pictures of burnout land, drought land, fire-ravaged land. You put a plant and nothing grows there. But you see, God's word says that when you delight in the law of the Lord and you meditate on it day and night, you're knowing it, it's like you're by his wonderful stream. And it feeds water into it, and the plant grows and flourishes. We're not talking about material blessings here. We're talking about flourishing in God and knowing God better and finding joy and hope and satisfaction. Friends, sometimes a lot of Christians don't have that much joy. I think part of that is that sometimes we're not spending time in the Word and in prayer. We're not delighting in God, not finding joy in God. Life's just a burden and a misery. And sometimes life is a burden. Sometimes life is tough. But if we're going to come out of that to find joy, we've got to be in the Word, fill the Holy Spirit, be different. And I love that picture. Whatever he does prospers. You're just close to God and God works in you. And again, we're not saying that you have to be healthy and wealthy, but God can work powerfully to prosper you into living a godly life. Friends, the alternative is, and I don't want to spend much time on this because it's the negative, the futility of godless existence. It says, not so the wicked. And now, in contrast to the righteous, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. You have a picture there up on the screen of what happens when they deal with their winnowing grain at harvest time. And normally, you've got the grain and you've got the straw and the chaff all mixed up, right? And what they do, they wait for the evening breeze, and they throw it up into the air. And the wind comes and blows away the light stuff, the not-so-good stuff, the stuff you don't need. The grain is heavier. That falls to the ground. The other stuff is blown away, and that's how you get the grain. It says the wicked are just like that chaff. It's useless. It's wasted. It's not good for anything. And they're blown away. And verse 5 says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. They're living futile lives under the judgment of God. They may stand now and scoff. They may stand now and mock you on social media. They may mock you and to your face. They may say to you, you're an idiot for believing in God. What type of fool believes that Jesus is alive today? It's not in history. You can't believe that nonsense. They mock you. But God says in the end, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. When God comes and his final judgment, they stand guilty without a hope in the world. See, they're like chaff the wind blows away. That's why we need to take the gospel to them so they get saved and they come to love God. Because, friends, there will be a final separation. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous. He knows them and he cares for them. He has a relationship with them. We have an intimate relationship with God. When you know him, God knows you. You belong to him. I'm a child of God. I've been a child of God since the age of 15. How old am I? 58. That's a few years, right? 43 years. I was an enemy of God. I'm now a child of God. I was lost. I'm now found. And when you come into a relationship with God, God knows you. You see, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the right. He knows you. He sees you. He values you through Christ. But the way of the wicked will perish. Friends, there are only two ways to live. Always only two ways to live. There's no middle ground. There's no fence. You delight in the law of the Lord. You walk against him. You're an enemy of his. You trust in Jesus or you reject Jesus. You see, Matthew 7 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And let me say, as a teenager, this was one of the most difficult verses, but one of the most encouraging verses. I grew up in a community where there were very few Christians. In my school, they may be lucky to have four or five Christians. In my community, there are a very small number of people who loved Jesus and followed him. And sometimes when you're the odd one out as a Christian, it's okay. Here you get hundreds of people come to know where you, you can get some support in a group. When you feel like you're the only ones there, and then you read your Bible, which makes you wise for salvation, it keeps you going, right? It says only a few find it. The fact that there's only a few of us who are followers of Jesus in a Western democracy like Australia is not a surprise to Jesus. Shouldn't be a surprise to us. It doesn't mean we don't evangelize and try and see more come off that wide road to destruction. But the Bible tells us there is a wide road. Most people go on it because they want to do their own thing. And God calls us to go that way. How do we get there? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world. Friends, you start 2020. I don't care what you've been through in 2019, what you're going through today. God loves you deeply. He's hanging on a cross for you. He loves you deeply, so much so that he sent his Son to die for you, that whoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. And John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. I love that. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. That means it's a present possession. Not something you might get in the future, you have it now. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Again, there are two ways to live. You receive Jesus now, you have life. So when someone says to me, Ange, are you sure you're going to heaven? And I say yes, it's not because I'm arrogant. It's not because I'm full of pride. It's not because I'm full of myself. It's because Jesus has told me that if I trust in him, I have eternal life. And I trust in God's word. Friends, there are only two ways to live in 2020. Trust in Christ and live according to his word, or follow the counsel of the wicked on the road to destruction. And it is my prayer that this year we will see many people come off that road to destruction on the way to life as we hold out the word of God to others. Let me conclude by telling you about Eric. Eric is someone, I'm telling you his story because he went from being on the road to destruction, he went from being a mocker, an insulter of Christians, to being a follower of Jesus. He was from Sweden, and Eric says, I was a proud, argumentative atheist. I was a staunch communist and a radical vegan. There are three things he said. He said, I had a reputation of convincing believers to abandon their faith, and I loved debating Christians. He said, I thought Christians were stupid. I thought they were some frenzied fanatics. I thought they were life's cripples in need of a crutch. I thought they were delusional and misguided. I thought they were weak. And I debated them. And my job, what I looked forward to, what I got off on, was convincing Christians that God was not real, Jesus is not true, to leave the faith. And then one day, one of his friends said, okay, I'll give you a challenge, Eric. I'm going to give you a Gospel of John. I want you to read the Gospel of John. And tell me what you think. His Christian friend is praying like anything, right? And Eric's thinking, fantastic. I'm going to read this Bible. I'm going to have all the evidence against Christianity. I'm going to meet my friend and I'm going to convince him that this is all fake. He said, I started to read the Bible. I started to see what it had to say about Jesus, who he was, what he did, how he treated people. And all of a sudden, as I was reading the Bible, I started to think differently about God. I started to lose my atheism. And I guess my better judgment, he said, as I was reading the Bible, I ended up going to a Christian youth event incognito, he says. I don't know, did I put a hat on, glasses, walked in. So I just hid into this Christian youth event. So no one would know I was there. And at the end of it, he said, as I was listening to it, I thought it was compelling. This message of love and forgiveness and acceptance by God of the universe. And there was an altar call, and I asked people to come forward, and people were coming forward, but I stayed up the back. I wasn't coming forward. It was almost the last call. You know how they do it now? It was our final chance. If you want to give your life to Jesus, come on down right now. Now I'm going to, one more go, right? Come on, another chance. Come on, they're going to play a bit of music back here. Anyone up the back, come on. We've got a few minutes, come on down. You see, it was the last moment, just as they closed the appeal. It was as if God gripped me and I started to run to the front of the auditorium because I didn't want to miss out. This is my chance to believe in God, to trust Him, to have my sins forgiven, become a child of the living God, to have eternal life, to live with purpose and meaning, not in the hopelessness of atheism. Gave his life to Christ. Said, I joined the church and in 2013 joined the Salvation Army and its mission to save souls, grow saints and serve suffering humanity. He's now the director of distance teaching and learning at the Salvation Army College, Booth College here in Sydney. From a mocker and a scoffer to a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you? Do you love God? Are you open to the Holy Spirit and His Word to touch your heart, to impress you with a new passion, a new joy, a new direction? But we don't just want to go through the motions week after week after week. This is about dynamic relationship with the God of the universe through Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, to start to change us one step at a time. It's my prayer that God would do that. I want to pray for you right now, for myself, that God would do that amongst us this year. God, we come before you as your people. Lord, we ask that you would give us a heart after you this year. A delight in your word and your truth. We would hear your voice. We would listen to your voice against the competing voices of this world. We would evaluate them, critique them according to your word. Lord, that we would trust that what you say is true. We'd love you and follow you. And Lord, that we would delight in your word. Because it makes us wise for salvation. Delight in your word because it teaches us and corrects us and rebukes us and trains us in righteousness. Lord, come we pray tonight. Fill us with a new joy and a new delight in you because you are a great Savior. You're a merciful Savior. You're a great God. There's no other God like you. So God, please come. Don't leave us unchanged. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Fill us with a desire to love you, to serve you, to proclaim you, to pass on this good news to others. That they will get people will get off the highway to hell and on the pathway to heaven, on that narrow road from the wide road. And Lord, may we not get lazy, may we not be distracted by the things that come upon us. But when the enemy attacks us, help us to stand firm in your word. Lord, we want to make a difference for you. We want to bring glory to your name. There's no God like you. And so we ask, God, come. Come to us, work in us and through us. Not for our glory, not for our fame or our honor, but for your fame and for your honor and for your glory. Because you are the great and saving God. And we pray it in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Friends, can I encourage you to passionately, prayerfully call upon God this year, that God would change your life and bring you a new sense of joy and hope like never before. I'm going to give you a few moments now to respond to God's word. You have some response cards in front of you. Has God encouraged you in some way, given you a push in a certain direction to read the Bible, to pray, to share God's good news with others? Why don't you take a moment to write that on a care card? If you're new to our church tonight, just if you could fill out your details, we'd love to talk to you afterwards. And in a few weeks' time, we'll start up our Bible study groups and our other groups. We'd love to connect you up. But if you can do that, we'd love to do that. If there's something you want us to pray for, please let us know. Sometimes we struggle with things. We don't tell anyone. We just struggle and struggle. But we're here to pray. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of God to change lives, to make a difference. And we want to be standing with you in those times. God bless you.